century, when letters by the apostles were written, and you know this is just a letter. This is a letter written to the churches. When they're written, they're sent to a church. What does the church do with that when they get a letter? Let's just say from the apostle Paul, even though we don't know exactly who wrote the letter to Hebrews. When you get a letter like that and you read it, you're blessed. And so what do you do with things that you're blessed by? You share it, right? And so everybody gathers together, and this letter would have been read to the entire congregation. The whole letter of Hebrews would have been, when gathered, everybody would have come together, you'd all come close, we would have put on the, you know, the candles and the lights, and we would have just read the whole letter. And so I asked myself, I was thinking, what would it have been like if we today were to receive this letter from the Hebrews? Let's say it was just mailed to us from an anonymous apostle of the Lord, and this just came to us. What would we do? And I think we'd gather together and read it. And so I read through the book of Hebrews again, and it was too long. I thought, they'll all go to sleep and stone me if I read the entire letter of Hebrews. And so I decided to do something I've never done before. I simply went through and translated this letter to the Hebrews in how I would speak today, and condensed major points and repetitive issues into a single paragraph or so. And I thought, I want to read this to you as if, here's the summary of the book of Hebrews, this entire letter, as if we were to receive this today. And so I'm not going to preach expositionally. I'm not going to expound anything today. I'm just going to let, in my struggle to be faithful to Scripture, let God's word simply speak if he chooses to do so. This is not divine Scripture. This is Todd's thinking and translating into today's English what it would have been like in my own imagination of how we might receive a letter like this. So I'm just going to read this. If I do it well, it'll take me 18 minutes. We're using a muscle that we don't often use, which is listening to long chunks of Scripture without flashing lights and video and everything else happening behind us. But it is a skill, I think, that we need to develop. And Andy's got a whole class on the public reading of Scripture. So I'm praying, I have been praying since Friday, that you would be able to bear with me for 18 minutes to listen to how this might land on you. And I'm praying that God would, through some turn of phrase, allow some truth to maybe trigger in your mind. So would you, as I'm reading, would you just pray? And I'm going to pray one more time and just say, God, you just speak to us. If you want us to hear something, would you let us hear it? So let me just pray, and then I will read this. Father, I pray that you would give us endurance and fullness of your Spirit to assimilate into our souls some of these wonderful truths that you have given to us through your word. And if I have been able to do so faithfully, I ask for your help, that these words would bring blessing to us and would bring encouragement to those who are suffering in this room. This letter is about suffering, and it offers incredible help. Those who are struggling and confused and wondering, why does life unfold the way it does? May this be helpful. May we be edified by your word. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, dear church, I know you're busy, and I have wonderful news for you, and I couldn't help but write. I know no one uses paper and pen anymore, but you must have this letter read amongst yourselves. So silence your phones, put them down, and for a few minutes, just consider this. In the ancient times, God used to speak to mankind through many ways, like dreams and visions in the night. But prophets and holy men were the only ones who received these special messages. However, something incredibly wonderful and uniquely special has happened in the first century. God spoke to mankind through his one and only Son, his eternal Son, who stepped out of heaven and entered human flesh and became human. This Son, this one whom God had ordained to inherit the whole earth, and through him, God actually created the earth. This Son is the shining beauty of God's goodness. His character and power and personality are exactly like God the Father's. In fact, the Son is so powerful that the universe continues to exist by the word of his command. He is stunningly magnificent. He sits with the Father on the throne of the universe because in the first century, he willingly offered his own body as an atoning sacrifice to pay for sins for everyone who would trust in him. I know this is a difficult concept to think about, but it's true. This really happened. Because of this incredibly brave and obedient and loving act of the Son, God the Father then exalted him to the highest seat of honor. He conferred upon him the highest rank and the most excellent name in all of the universe. He outranks all men, everyone, every president, every prime minister. He even outranks all angels. God the Father even commands angels to worship his Son. So this is astounding. And consider for a moment that the glorious and more powerful angels are commanded to worship him. And if that's true, then how much more should we, weak, impotent humans, worship him also? So I plead with you, worship the Son. Do not ignore or reject his gospel message that has come to us through the Son. If God, as truly told in Scripture, destroyed and punished everyone who rejected or had ignored his message that he sent long ago through angels, then how fearful it is to ponder what kind of punishment awaits those who reject and ignore the message that God has sent to us through his Son. So God has transferred now all authority over to his Son, for whom and through whom he created this world. There is now nothing outside of the control of the Son. I know it does not look like this is true, and it doesn't appear that he controls everything, but I promise you, by the end of everything, it will all become abundantly clear. What we do see right now is the great grace and compassion of God the Father. These kind qualities, this grace and compassion, is evident in the fact that God temporarily humbled his Son by becoming human. He did this for the purpose of experiencing death so that some of us humans could, through him, experience eternal life. Right? It was immensely kind of God to accomplish our salvation by sending him, his own Son, to become one of us. And as you already know, the name of his Son is Jesus. He is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, seated with glory and power and honor. So, in other words, the Son stepped out of paradise and into this temporal world of suffering so that we, if we join him in his suffering, could join with him in moving into the eternal joys of heaven. All of this is the breathtaking work of God. And this is why the Son of God, on the last day will receive and inherit the whole earth. And he will not be ashamed of us who join with him if we will stand up for him now. He will acknowledge us before the Father if we will suffer with him right now. But don't reject him. He has suffered for us. And since we suffer, it's only right that he who would save us would also suffer. In fact, it is by entering into our suffering, including the suffering of death, that he accomplished our salvation. So Jesus himself suffered and died. And then on the third day, he rose from the dead. He entered death and then killed death by the power of his resurrection. How ironic is that? Jesus died to kill death. Therefore, Jesus' death and resurrection has changed everything since. Death no longer has any power over those of us who are joined by faith to Jesus. If death has no power over us, then neither does the devil. There is no need to fear him any longer or death. And how many people are there in this world that you know of who are scared to death of dying? Through Christ, we no longer need to be afraid. His resurrection power destroys the devil and death. And this is why Jesus had to become human. So that he could be a merciful and faithful priest to us in our suffering. And by suffering and dying as all humans do, this priesthood Jesus now can enter into. He knows what it's like to live this life that we live. So think about this for a moment. Jesus was faithful and obedient to God the Father, who called him to this life of suffering. And the suffering that he endured was not a surprise to him. He knew this was coming, and yet he willingly came anyway. Jesus remained faithful to God's call on his life to the very point of death. Oh, that everyone hearing my voice could be just as faithful. In fact, Jesus was even more faithful than Moses. Moses was faithful throughout his life, but he didn't suffer like Jesus did. Therefore, Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. We easily worship heroes, but don't worship anyone but Jesus. Jesus alone has suffered for you more than any hero, past or present. The true disciples of Jesus will worship him. And you can know that you truly are a disciple if you keep on worshiping him until the day you die. So don't allow anything to keep you from worshiping Jesus. Don't harden your heart by disbelieving and saying, this is all nonsense and it's just an ancient story that somebody made up. This is not made up. Do you remember the rebellious children of Israel who suffered God's judgment in the wilderness for refusing to believe and obey him? They disbelieved and disobeyed, and they were not able to enter the promised land. They didn't enter because of their failure of their faith, right? God prevented them from seeing the promised land because of their lack of faith. Don't be like them. Don't lack faith. Keep believing. Keep obeying and worshiping Jesus. If you do this, you will inherit eternal life. So fight against all unbelief in your life. Are you struggling to believe this even right now? Since Jesus also struggled with all that we struggle with, he can help us in our times of suffering. He suffered for a little while, but now he reigns from heaven. When you suffer in your spirit, know that you can run to him, for he understands our suffering, all of it. He can sympathize with your weaknesses, and he too has experienced the same things. He can also help you when you're being tempted to sin. And you know, Jesus was completely human. He was made of the same stuff as you and me. He was flesh and bone. Don't forget this. Throughout all of the days of his life, he experienced all of the same temptations that you and I experience every day. This is the truth about Jesus. And he never sinned. This is what we are told, and it's the truth. Therefore, when you're tempted to sin, run by faith to him, because there you will find mercy and grace to help you. Because Jesus is human, he can deal gently with you when you're thinking about sinning. So you should realize this. All of this was God the Father's idea. He sent Jesus to save us. He ordained that Jesus be a merciful and kind priest. God did this because he loves us. I pray that you know that love. Even though Jesus was eternally with God in the joys of heaven, yet the Father still chose to send his perfect and pure Son into this sinful and broken world. This was all God's idea, and it is graciously good. So God decided to save us like this so that Jesus would be the source of eternal salvation for everyone who would trust in him. Jesus, even though he had been in heaven, or he has been in heaven now for 2,000 years, he has not forgotten what it's like to be human. His memory is perfect. It never fades. Therefore, he is the only one who is able to save you forever and deliver you from temptation. Jesus is our forever priest, and he is the only one that we need. And there's so much more that I could say about this, but I'm afraid you wouldn't be able to understand it. By now, you should be able to understand this, but you are so easily distracted by unimportant things. In fact, you should be teaching this, and yet I have to come and teach you. You need me to do this again? You've become content with baby food. The truth of God's word is like spiritual steak for your soul, but many of you have pushed it aside, rather choosing the sticky cotton candy of sin. You will not survive spiritually if this is what you keep doing. If you want to grow in Christ and become spiritually mature, then you must make a habit of choosing what is good over choosing what is evil. So make up your mind. Are you content to be a spiritual toddler? Or are you going to start acting upon what you know is right? I tell you the truth, if you continue refusing to obey Jesus, as you know you ought to do, then you will prove that you never truly were saved in the first place. Do you think you can pretend to be a Christian and your soul escaped unharmed? If you think this, then you're fooling yourself. Do you think you can trick God? After seeing people's lives transformed and hearing of testimonies all around you of what God has done, of seeing miracles and hearing about them happening in your life, of listening to God's word being preached and knowing that it's true, yet then you think you can turn away and reject all of that, and you think God will be okay with that? He will not. Do you think God is blind and will be fooled and will ignore your betrayal? Do you think that going back and sinning happily and enjoying it will get you favor with God? No, it's like crucifying Jesus all over again. Don't think that God will ignore such an offense. Think of it this way. There's a man who had two fields. Both received the same rain. One field produces a crop full of good food for people. The other field produces a crop of nothing but thorns and thistles, stickers and brambles, which is useless and actually hurts people who walk through it. What will the owner do with those two fields? Well, you know what he'll do. The one that is fruitful, he will bless and rejoice in, and it will be good for the people to feed many people. However, the other field will be chopped down and burned because it did not produce any good fruit. So I ask you, which field are you? I know these are tough words, but you need to hear them. And I trust that you will make the right choices. I have seen God at work in your lives, and I know that He will not abandon the work He has begun. However, you too have some things that you know you need to do, and it's time for you to get doing them. The work has begun, and you need to continue joining the Lord in it. I am saying these things to you because I want you, your faith to remain firm in Him to the end of your life. I'm not trying to distress you or confuse you unnecessarily. I want you to be assured of your salvation. I'm not saying this to cause you dread. I'm saying this to motivate you onward in your spiritual walk because some of you are spiritually lazy. So get up, move on, go forward in your faith. Keep your mind on the promises of God. Because when God makes a promise, He cannot fail to keep it. It is impossible for Him to lie. Every word that He speaks is true. And after stating His promise long ago to Abraham to bless all of the nations of the world through one of his descendants, He then swore an oath to keep that promise. So when people swear, they always swear by something that's higher than them, some authority. Well, God, when He swore by His own name because there is no higher authority. So trust in His word. Let this be an anchor to your soul. God will keep His promise. This is why Jesus came, to guarantee this promise to Abraham. You see, so many people think that by doing good deeds, keeping the law, for example, that God will allow them into heaven. But they miss one point. God is morally perfect, and He demands moral perfection from all of His people, anyone who would enter His heavenly home. Well, no one is morally perfect except Jesus. And so this is why faith in Jesus is the only way to get into heaven. To get into heaven, you must either be morally perfect or someone who is morally perfect must get you in. The good news is, Jesus is morally perfect, and He will take with Him into heaven anyone who will come with Him by faith. This is why Jesus is so able to save us completely. Think about this for a moment. Jesus is the only human who never sinned. The only human. He alone is morally perfect. He is the only human whom God ordained to be the Messiah. He is the only human who fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies. He is the only human who died and then was raised and then was received into heaven directly, alive. He never died again. Why? So that Jesus could fulfill all of God's promises to Abraham. God promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. So this hope is open to people of every nation on the planet. Praise be to God the Father. Jesus is kind of like a temple. He is the place to meet God. He is the place to worship God. He is the place to experience God. And he is the place to have all of your sins washed away and your conscience cleaned. Jesus' blood was shed to forgive your sins. Animal blood does not take away sin. It's impossible for that to happen. Only a pure and perfect eternal person could offer an eternal sacrifice. And this is what Jesus has done. So won't you put your faith in him? He lives to make a way for you to get to heaven. Draw near to God through him with full assurance, knowing that through him, your conscience, and think about all the things that are on your conscience, all of that can be completely washed away. So turn away from sin. Embrace righteousness. Keep the faith. And it is impossible to please God without faith. You must trust him. You must believe that he exists and that he will bless you if you will come to him through faith. Just think about all the examples of this. Abel, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Joshua, all the judges, Daniel, and even Jeremiah. These all by faith turned away from the temporary rewards of sin, choosing rather to seek an eternal reward. All of these endured by faith, by seeing him who is invisible. By faith, they escaped death. They crossed oceans, defeated armies, brought down city walls, enforced justice, conquered kingdoms, stopped the mouths of lions, survived flames, and were made strong in weakness. Some of them even received back their dead from resurrection. By faith, they were given the strength to die, to be tortured, to refuse release, to endure mocking and flogging and chains and imprisonment. Some were stoned. They were given strength to be run through with the sword, and others were even sawn in two. These faith-filled people were not worthy of having to live in this earth. They lived in caves and dens and mountains. This world's not worthy of them. They all died without fully receiving God's promise because God had something better, that the fullness of his goodness would not be granted until all of his elect children arrive home. That's you and me if we trust in him. So since this greatness awaits us, keep running the race of faith. Listen to their voices long ago. Look at their lives. Throw off the things that hinder you. Wake up and get out of your spiritual slumber. Put away sin and run with faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was opened before him, continued on and endured the cross and all of the shame and mockery that came with it. Because right now he is seated at the right hand of victory. Don't grow weary when wicked people make fun of you because you're a Christian. Remember, they were hostile towards Jesus too. Don't grow weary when he disciplines you. Remember the hardship that you must now endure is not because God is against you. He's for you. He is not punishing you. He is perfecting you so that you can enjoy his holiness. Jesus has already bore the punishment for your sins. God is not going to punish you a second time for the same sins for which Jesus has already died. The suffering that you must now endure is fitting you for heaven. So don't be distressed when you suffer. In fact, you should be distressed if you don't suffer. God only disciplines his children whom he loves. If you receive no discipline, you are not one of his children. But you are his child, and he is at work in you. I know it. So submit to this work of holiness that God is doing within you. Don't resist him. Don't resist his holy, humbling work. Submit yourself to him and allow his righteousness to bear fruit of a kind of holy happiness. So as I conclude, encourage each other with these words. Reach out to those around you who are weak. Come alongside those who are stumbling. Be patient with those who get confused and have tripped up over these theological details. And don't allow bitterness to creep into your soul. If you do, it will not only defile you, but it will contaminate everyone around you. Be on guard against all forms of sexual sin. Remain virgins until your wedding night, and then remain faithful to your spouse alone until you die. Those who reject this will be judged by God. So it's time for me to go. but let me share a few final thoughts. Be content with what you have. Be free from the love of money. Be kind to one another. Show hospitality often, and don't begrudge it when you do. Welcome strangers to your table, for who knows, they might be angels. And visit those who are in prison, because it could be you. Remember the words of God. Long ago in the Old Testament, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Jesus came along and said almost exactly the same thing. I am with you even to the end of the age. So pray for and respect those who are your spiritual leaders. Let them serve out of joy and not guilt or grudgingly. If they are not serving joyfully, then it won't benefit you. And finally, don't be led astray by false teachings, because men will sometimes teach their own doctrine, pretending that it's the doctrine of God. Learn to know the difference. And do good in everything you do, because God is pleased with this. So now, may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you, every one of you, to do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom belong all glory forever and ever. Amen. Kind regards. He didn't sign it.